little Huey Lewis in the news, working for a living. Well, that's what we're doing here. We're taking your phone calls at 754-1490. We've got Colin Letty across the console. He's ready to fall asleep on his feet. We've got Mikey J. across on the console. You're not ready to fall asleep on your feet, are you?
No, I'm on my third energy drink, Steve.
Oh,
I'm,
that's true. You're
I'm rocking.
You are wired.
I can't do the energy drink. It's too concentrated.
You are wired, and how much caffeine is in that energy drink, by the way?
A lot.
There's 160 milligrams per can, so I'm at about 480 milligrams on the day so far.
How does that compare to coffee?
That's like 7 cups of coffee, like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I can drink a whole pot of coffee. Coffee just doesn't do it for me.
Doesn't do it to
you. They
got to
make it stronger.
Okay.
They
got to
do something.
You need.
Have you tried, there's a brand, I think it's called Death Wish Coffee.
Sounds right up my alley. I live on the edge.
Okay. There you
Where one okay. cup of that coffee is like 4 of those.
Anyway, well, what do we got now? As I'm just looking, we've got Illinois opening up outside patio restaurant seating and outside bars and outside restaurants.
They're opening very, very slowly.
But they are opening, considering the fact that they were doing nothing before. They were pretty much under lockdown. And so my daughter got the news, hey, bars and restaurants, patio seating is opening. And patio seating in Chicago is a big deal. I mean, I know the problem that they're going to have is how are you going to keep that patio seating restricted or down to, you know, within limits?
It's going to be difficult, but you're probably going to try to find a way to do it if you're a business owner.
If you're a business owner. And but the demand is going to be, the pent-up demand is there, and I think that's what you're going to see also. Rules are going to be bent a little bit. Would you go?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, most likely.
Oh, I better. Yeah. I was going to go here for dinner, but I don't. I would be too close to the other people, so I better not do that. Okay, so I won't do it. Well, I don't think that's the way it's going to work. I think that's a problem they have. You know, that's a problem you have in a densely populated city. Is that, and I think that's the thing they're finding out. They're finding that out pretty much nationwide, aren't they? In terms of, especially people that have been in lockdown. I know New York now, is that still in lockdown as far as you know?
As far as I know, yes.
I mean.
Yeah, I think Governor Cuomo has talked about lifting the restrictions. I don't think they've officially opened up any restaurants to sit down at, or and many of the businesses are still
high school
shut
baseball
down.
And softball beginning on the 1st of June.
Yes, they are, and among other things that are opening, we heard the announcement
with caution, according to the head of the Iowa Athletic Association, Iowa Boys and Girls Athletic Association. So
caution, yes, but the big thing yesterday, Governor Reynolds announced some more businesses opening up a week earlier than they were planned for,
but not casinos. And not bars?
Will be next week.
Oh, bars are next week. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And casinos, still no news on that as far as I know.
How do they regulate how many people can be in a bar or how many people
I believe it's at the owner's discretion.
It's so next Thursday, the 20th, I've got it pulled up right here. We'll start with tomorrow. As of tomorrow, movie theaters, zoos, aquariums, museums, wedding reception venues, and swimming pools for lap swimming and swimming lessons only will be allowed.
Okay.
And then next Thursday, they're going to allow bars and other establishments that serve alcohol. They'll be allowed to reopen for indoor and outdoor seating at 50% capacity, and they have to follow the same public health measures as restaurants.
So, in other words, I'm going to guess all the people sitting at the bar, they're going to have to remove some bar stools for sure.
Yeah, I think what the only way that they're going to be able to enforce this, I think, in a bar setting, is you're going to have a seat. It's not going to be a stand around sort of thing. You're going to have a designated seat, and you're going to have to sit at your table and drink, or sit at your stool and drink, and all those, they'll have to measure them out so they're not too close to each other. I think that's the only way that they're going to be able to get
You're
away with it.
You're not
going
to have
right
to wear
now.
A mask and have a straw, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's hopefully not. But now I've seen bars get creative down in Texas. They allowed their bars and churches and everything to open up here a week or two ago, and they've seen a lot of bars to do the 50% capacity and the 6 feet thing. They're making people wear giant tires around their waist.
They get inner tubes. And what I mentioned the restaurant in Little Washington. It's between Washington. It's outside of Washington D.C., but it's called Little Washington. It's a very famous restaurant. But they have the diners. They have mannequins dressed in 1940s.
Which no matter
stylish...
how many times we bring it up, it's still creepy.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. That sounds real creepy.
Well, but it's you know, it's an easy way. But think of it this way: it's an easy way to block out to make it so at least it doesn't seem like you're, you know, you don't have a big, you know, like police tape or something around something. You know what I mean?
What do you think is stranger, to be sat at a table and the table next to you doesn't have people at it, or to be sat at a table and the table next to you has a full mannequin dressed as a person? And in that article that they were talking about, the waiters and waitresses are supposed to check on the mannequins to see how their food is going and to refill their drinks and stuff. So they're supposed to pretend like these mannequins are real people.
Well, I bet they don't drink a lot.
Yeah, I bet they don't tip a lot either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, still creepy.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so it's...
I think it's stranger to fill your restaurant with mannequins.
All right. I suppose if it works...
If you're trying to get publicity, then it's definitely a decent idea.
I'm going
to
bring a mannequin in here and seat it in this chair right here, so whenever I'm not in here, you're not missing me.
Yes, but you won't be able to... But will the mannequin talk?
I mean,
if
it'll
it sits
probably
here
give,
for long enough, you'll think it's talking.
It'll give just as good opinions as I give, I'll tell you that.
Oh. Okay. Choo-doo-doo. Okay. Well, all we need now is... There we go.
Thank you. I'll be here all afternoon.
There we go. Anyway, it's 754-1490, 319-754-1490. I guess the weather this week has just been, you know, I think particularly for me, and Colin, I don't think it's... If you're inside, it doesn't bother you as much as me feeling this sort of being caged. And when I'm inside and I can't be outside doing stuff, now the lawn that's been begging me to mow it for the last 2 days, that I'm going to try hopefully to get that done today. But because what happened is we had all that rain on Sunday, and all of a sudden everything's just been growing like like a weed, but it's not weeds that I have to deal with. It's mostly just the fact the grass is really thick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I put off mowing over the weekend because I thought it was too wet, and had I known that we were going to just have a week full of drizzle, I would have mowed over the weekend. It's becoming a chore.
I know. We have my morning stumper winner said, you know, hey, I got to mow too, so I'm hoping that I can... I said, well, hope for sunshine or at least dry.
Was your stumper question, how the heck are we going to mow our lawn?
The stumper question was, which country suffered the worst casualties or had 21 million deaths in World War II?
Who?
Was it Germany, Japan, or Russia?
I would say Russia.
Well, of course it was Russia.
It was the Soviet Union, and I believe the grand total was actually 22 million.
Well, they might have been rounded. 20 over 21 million.
Rounded up or down, but that's splitting hairs.
Okay, yeah. That's a lot of people, no matter what, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
How many people died in the pandemic? How many people came down with the pandemic in 2018 and 2019? You know,
what was it, like 5 million?
I think it was up to 50 million.
It was 500 million, 1/3 of the globe. All contracted the Spanish flu. Oh. Out of the 500 million, it was only that 1/3 was 500 million people, because we were 1.5 billion at that time. Out of the 500 million, how many died? Over 100 million. That's a pretty high number mm-hmm. percentage there, isn't it?
That's 20%. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
quite a bit.
Yeah. I'd say it was fairly a little bit more, a little worse than the current pandemic. Is that what you'd say?
Yeah,
I would have to agree. A little scarier, but you also have to take into account they didn't have, you know, 100 years worth of medical technology behind them. You know, we're 100 years ahead of them dealing with this.
If they were
dealing with this coronavirus, it could have been way far worse. It's hard to say.
Well, there were three waves of it, too. The first one was relatively mild. The second one was a you-know-what, very, very, very severe and very, very harsh second wave, and then the third wave somewhere in between the first and the second wave.
They probably also weren't as afraid of it due to being inundated with 24/7 coverage of it.
Yeah, and they didn't have 24/7 coverage, but they also had the other thing is that a lot of the things they didn't say, it was called the Spanish flu, not because it originated in Spain, but because Spain was the only country that was neutral in, or the only country that was, you know, basically where it was there, that was not involved in World War. Nobody wanted to say or mention the flu because they didn't want to give any comfort or basically feel like the enemy was successful or that they had lost people. Mm-hmm. In their battle, you know, they lost people because of the flu. They lost more people because of the flu, far more people because of the flu than they did because of the war, and that was the other side. But anyway, 754-1490. We're talking about anything else that's on your mind as we open up gradually. I think we said on our Monday show that you said something about, hey, look, open up. I think you said something about herd. We were talking about herd immunity.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay.
We were talking about the disparities between keeping bars closed and restaurants open.
Well, we had that.
There's that.
Well, and I think mm-hmm. that was part of it. But the other part of
it
was...
2 days later, bars are opening next week.
The question is, we just had that story on Fox News about at your own risk. And I think, Is that a reasonable way to proceed?
Yes.
At your own risk. I guess that's what that is. I guess you can't argue
because
with that.
Because you're going to have those people who are saying, this thing's still out there, I'm not going outside. And you're going to see those people who, I want my normal life back and I'm willing to risk it.
Yeah, and America is based on the ability to have the right to have the freedom to choose things for yourself.
I did have a comment. My daughter's home from Chicago, we're sort of talking about Fox Sports using CGI computer generated images.
Yeah. To put a crowd in
and crowd noise, and it's like,
no, please don't.
Well, no, and it seemed, but that was the comment. No, they couldn't do that, could they? No, I mean, that would be
probably going to try.
No, they already. It's been confirmed. Joe Buck confirmed it that they're going to be doing it.
But it's stupid. It really.
Oh yeah, it's extremely stupid.
All right, 754-1490. Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to have, I mean, what auto racing you can? Yeah, you wouldn't do it with auto, but auto racing you can do.
You can get away with it without fans.
You can get away without.
But
fans.
Yeah, because the crowd isn't part of the game. You know, it's when you watch a NASCAR race. The only sounds you really need to hear
are the cars.
Cars, you know, the rumble of the cars.
The commentators.
Maybe the commentators and then the communication between the team and the drivers. Like, you need to come into the pit stop.
By the way, 34
that, like,
Raceway.
That's all I need to hear.
But 34 Raceway has their IMCA late model and stock car races going on Sunday night.
Via
pay-per-view. On, what is it, the racing channel that they've got?
Speed
TV, something.
I know what it is.
Sprint, just, speed, something. Yep.
Hold on a second. I've got it here. Someplace.
Speed something TV. I think you're...
Speed Shift.
Thank you. Speed Shift TV. Broadcasting it via iPay-per-view.
And the Lee County Raceway is also opening up this weekend, and they are also opening up without any fans. Their grandstands are locked as well. Speed Shift TV will be providing pay-per-view coverage of that as well. And I think, I'm going to guess the Speed Shift TV people are making out probably, I've never even heard of Speed Shift. Have you?
No. I'm not really a race fan.
I guess the question is, and I think you had said something about, you know, hey, why don't they just have a giant screen and have people in their cars watch the thing? And you pay an admission as you drive in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a great idea.
Turn it into a drive-in movie.
Turn it into a drive-in movie.
But that would also give you the ability to sell beer to the people there in the parking lot as well.
Man, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
This is Val.
Hey, Val. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't mean to change the subject on you if you just want to talk about the coronavirus.
Oh, no. You tell me whatever's on your mind is what our topic is.
Yes, well, I haven't heard very much. I don't get the paper. I've just heard rumors, and I just want you to confirm it. But I heard that they're going to open the city up for bow and arrow shooting of animals, of deer, I mean.
There are
Starting in September?
In deer, yes.
And it was unanimously passed? Is this what I understand? And how come I'm not hearing more of this?
The general consensus is, yes, that will be the plan. I don't know if there's been a vote on that yet or not, but that is the direction they're going in. It's a problem with the urban deer population as far as the police department and the sheriff's office have been talking about. They're talking about opening up, bow shooting city limits.
This is not
open hunting.
These are people. This is only the only people that are going to have be doing the shooting are people that are registered. And as people that have been cleared to do this.
It's not okay to just go out if you see a deer and shoot in the middle of the street. There are definitely going to be some special circumstances that have to be, like, obviously.
Well, even if they have to go through some kind of test or whatever, not everybody hits what they're shooting at, whether they're extremely accurate or not. And I think it's going to cause a lot of problems and a lot of uproar the more people hear about it. And I'm not hearing anything on the radio about it.
But it's just bow and arrows.
I don't read the paper.
It's just bow and arrows.
Bow and arrows.
Yeah.
Just fly across. Oh, whatever. Oh, I just meant to hit that deer right there, but the car went by, so I got the person in the car. Oops.
Yeah, ma'am, if you go to Dankwart Park, there's an archery range literally 100 feet away from the playground. All right, it's a safe activity if the person who's shooting the bow knows what they're shooting at. They've been trained at what they're doing. You can only shoot one arrow at a time.
And the people, these people will have to go through rigid clearance.
There will
very,
be
very rigid
a lot
clearance,
of paperwork
yes. Yeah, we're not talking about wide open or making it. It's not going to be an easy thing to get a license to do that.
No, it's not.
And you're not going to be able to go on anyone's property and do it either.
No.
You know, if you're shooting on your own property, should be able to shoot a bow and arrow in any direction as long as it doesn't leave your property.
That's probably going to be one of the special circumstances
as long as it's in your backyard. Leave your property.
But, yeah. I mean, right now it's legal to set up a target in your backyard and shoot at it. Well, I mean, are you upset about that?
Well, as long as it's got a background to it, like that thing out there in the park has a big hill hump there, that's where it's going to go.
And don't you think
when they hit the neighbor's garage, is that a lawsuit? Have they checked into the insurance?
It can. If your neighbor shoots your garage with their arrow, you're more than, you know, there's more than enough precedent there that you could sue your neighbor
My guess is the
neighbor sued the city. The city's passed the stupid law.
Well, the city didn't shoot the arrow. It's personal responsibility.
The city should have some liability.
You can't sue the city because your neighbor did something stupid. You know, like that's just, it's part of life.
People are going to hunt either way.
People are going to be shooting their bows.
But the fact is that as far as shooting at deer, no, you're going to have to go through rigid clearance. And you're going to have extreme requirements before you can do anything like that. And where you can go and the safety of the people around in the neighborhood and to make sure that you do not have. And if you have an accident or something, I would say the odds are that you're not going to see, you know, hey, if there's anything else that is in there or potential, then you're just simply not going to be allowed to take aim and fire at it.
Have you talked to deer hunters before that they say they shot a deer with an arrow and how far that deer can run and how far it can go? And
yeah.
The last thing I want to do is wake up to a deer in my front yard with an arrow in its gut rising there.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And I have to call the police to put it down.
There are things that happen in town. I don't see that as a huge problem. I think it's an even bigger problem if there's an overpopulation of deer in town, and not only are people hitting them with their cars, the deers are becoming diseased and spreading disease throughout the town that are affecting other animals. There's a reason why we have to take care of this deer problem, because it'll become a real big problem.
Who's in charge? It would DNR, would a Department of Natural Resources?
Yes.
Is DNR. You know what? I would say probably the best thing to do would be to simply call DNR.
It would either be a DNR
and
County Conservation. Well, I want it to be made public. That's why I called you guys.
Well, no,
have you even reported it?
It's been reported extensively. All three of us know about it. Obviously, we heard it from the news, so it has been reported.
And this was first brought up and approved. This was first brought up and approved months ago.
And here, you know what? I tell you what, we're going to have a peace officer on the next peace officer show. We'll discuss this in detail.
And at local government meetings, they usually have a public correspondence section on Monday nights where you can call in.
I would say, and comment. And I think the fact is all of the facts need to be laid out there, and you know, I appreciate the call today. I really do. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll make sure that we follow up on it, okay?
Well, thanks for letting me say my piece. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Thank you. That's what it's all about, saying your piece, and we're going to say, Mikey J is going to say his piece, and so is Colin Letty, and so will me.
All right, everybody.
It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
If I were a top athlete and I had signed with any California college, I don't want to redshirt for a year while I have to stay at home. I'm trying to find somewhere else that I can go. If I'm a 4 and 5 star, I'm asking out of my USC commitment. There are a lot of good schools all over this country that are going to be open this fall.
It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
A lot of folks are talking about using their stimulus check to buy American-made products from a local business. Standard of Beaverdale and Beckman TV and Appliance are proud to be a local family business. We support our community and sell many Made in the USA products. At Beckman's, our refrigerators with a bottom freezer are made in Amana, Iowa. Our Speed Queen laundry is made in Wisconsin. We have dishwashers from Ohio and ranges from Oklahoma. We have our own servicemen and our delivery guys deliver and install appliances. Recently, we heard from a fellow who paid a competitor for delivery, and they delivered a refrigerator to his front yard because they won't go in anyone's house right now. When he paid for delivery, he assumed that meant to his kitchen, not his front yard. Customers are calling and asking if we still deliver and do service. The answer is yes. Many folks are thinking this is a good time to buy a second refrigerator and stock up on food in their homes. We have several models reduced on closeout. We know this virus has created a difficult situation. Let Standard and Beckman TV and Appliance help you make the best of it. Thanks for shopping local.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Gasoline prices in Iowa are averaging almost a dollar lower than last year, but it won't be enough to lure most of us to take a road trip for Memorial Day weekend. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, Rose White at AAA Iowa says the Motor Club isn't releasing a holiday weekend travel forecast for the first time in 20 years.
Last year, 43 million Americans traveled for the holiday weekend. It was the second highest travel volume on record since we began tracking information, but with social distancing guidelines still in practice, this holiday weekend's travel volume is likely to set a record low.
In recent weeks, highway travel in the state was said to be down 44% from normal, according to the Iowa DOT, but over Mother's Day weekend, the numbers crept up to 75% of normal. Even with that increase, AAA is still expecting a potential record low for travel this coming weekend. Federal recommendations meant to keep meatpacking workers safe as they return to plants that were shuttered by the coronavirus have little enforcement muscle behind them. That is fueling anxiety that working conditions could put employees' lives at risk. Extensive guidance issued last month by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention calls for meatpacking companies to erect physical barriers, enforce social distancing, and install more hand sanitizing stations, among other steps. But the guidance is not mandatory. OSHA's general guidance plainly says the recommendations are advisory and not a regulation or a new legal obligation. The Iowa women's volleyball program is on probation for 1 year and must vacate 33 wins over 2 seasons as part of its penalty for violations committed by former coach Bond Szymanski. The university's athletic department also will pay a $5,000 fine to the NCAA as part of the negotiated resolution. Szymanski admitted making 2 cash payments totaling $2,000 to a prospective player during the summer of 2017. He was fired in June of 2019. The 33 vacated wins came in matches in which the player appeared in the 2017-18 and 2018-19 seasons. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
It's now nearly 39 million Americans laid off since businesses started closing or slowing down because of the coronavirus outbreak.
There were another 2.4 million new unemployment claims last week. The number of people applying for unemployment benefits has been gradually declining since the record of 6.8 million in the week ending March 28th. Economists say claims numbers are staying high, though, as states are processing applications for gig workers and many others are finally able to register for benefits.
Fox's Jenny Casola. The actress Lori Loughlin and her fashion designer husband, Massimo Giannulli, agree to plead guilty to charges in a college admissions bribery case.
Loughlin has also agreed to a sentence of 2 months in prison. Her husband will get 5 months in prison. They were accused of paying $500,000 to get their daughters into the University of Southern California and were expected to go to trial later this year.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
It is a stressful world out there right now, especially when it comes to figuring out what to eat. That's why Kelly O'Shea's is here to give you the comfort you deserve. Right now, you can order carryout of your favorite piping hot pub food Thursdays and Fridays to keep you warm and happy during your days in. Check out their menu on Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Continued cloudy through the day. We've got a slight chance of a little mist or drizzle before 1 p.m. at a high today 65 degrees. East winds at 5 to 10. Cloudy tonight. A low down to 57. Mostly cloudy Friday. High 73. And mostly cloudy Friday night. Showers 60% likely. A low to 64. A 50% chance of showers mainly in the morning on Saturday. And then gradually becoming sunny with a high of 81 right now. Overcast skies, 56 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are struggling at the open this morning on Wall Street after yesterday's rally. We got another shocking number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits last week. 2.5 million. Wall Street also watching the COVID-19 death toll in the U.S. According to Johns Hopkins, it's now approaching 95,000 Americans, far more than died in Vietnam, and poised to reach the number who died in World War I. Oil prices ticking higher this morning, way off their March lows. A barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude now more than $34. You'll continue to see prices at the pump tick higher as more people get back to driving across the U.S. Starbucks says sales are starting to come back, both in China and in the U.S., although slowly. The company says it'll cover health insurance premiums for employees on leave during the outbreak. Macy's has reiterated this morning its goal of having most of its stores open by late June. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Every home has a to-do list. That leaky drain, bare spots on the lawn, repainting the trim. To finally get that to-do list done, call in a pro. Over the past 20 years, HomeAdvisor has connected over 100 million homeowners with trusted local pros. And during these times, we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the HomeAdvisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/offer for details. That's homeadvisor.com/offer.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
The coronavirus threat is finally slowing down. It's time to start getting back to normal responsibly. Fact is, Greater Burlington local businesses are hurting. While you were stuck at home, they were told to close up shop. Now that stores are able to open, they are eager to welcome you back with open arms from a safe 6 feet away. Stop into one of our amazing restaurants and enjoy a delicious lunch or dinner. Visit your favorite shop and treat yourself to something special. Or call a service professional to do that job you've been waiting to get done. You can help stimulate the Greater Burlington economy. Get the items you need every day and still practice social distancing. Local businesses understand this is the new normal. They want you to feel comfortable while you shop. Be on the lookout for the orange open for business signs around town. These signs show you members that are open and working hard to keep their business clean and ready for you to shop. Brought to you by the members of the Chamber of Commerce, a division of the Greater Burlington Partnership, making connections, building community.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news.
The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
For Mikey J, as he takes another sip of his rock star.
If you ever wanted to remember what 1983 sounded like,
I like it.
Anyway, well, hey, I can remember 83. You can remember 83, right?
I mean, yeah, I was born in 85. So
okay, I guess
it's
going to
be hard.
Don't. Never mind. Okay. But my old, made my old. What was it yesterday?
I cannot comment
at
all.
I'm not going to say anything about the strawberry alarm clock and incense and peppermint either.
We had an argument the other day about 1967,
and the great songs that came out in 67. And there was a lot of them, weren't there?
The argument we were having is nobody remembers pre-Saturday Night Fever Bee Gees.
Oh yeah, because it was a 1960. The question was
You played me the song from 67. I'm like, this sounds just like a James Taylor song to me.
But it's the early Bee Gees, and the Bee Gees there were Bee Gees before Saturday Night Fever, but Saturday Night Fever sort of changed everything.
Well, that's how it is with a lot of artists. It's like,
well, look at
you name. Can you name any Kenny Loggins song that wasn't in an 80s movie?
Well, name the Beatles, the sound of the Beatles in 1963, 64, 65.
Completely different
was
from 67.
Was very different from just a couple of years after that, wasn't it?
Because 67, yeah. was Sergeant Pepper.
Sergeant Pepper, and everything changed. Yes, I have a feeling it has something to do with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah, yeah. I Am the Walrus, Cuckoo Ca-Choo.
I think it had something to do with
maybe it was Yellow Submarine.
Let's call it the inspiration they had for the album.
And there was also Maharishi Mahesh Yogi who set up over in Fairfield. Yeah. So anyway, it is 754-1490. We could talk about that, but you know, and I think that we're just talking about the fact of. You know, I think that any means of what is it, diminishing the deer population in the city will be enacted, and I think with extraordinary care
and responsibility
and very, very responsibility
from all parties,
because the liability, yes, exactly, for the same reason that we had the caller.
And I think mostly what they're talking about is of allowance of this hunting in wooded areas of the city, like in, if you see a deer in Dankwart Park, for example.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's not going to be, if it's a deer in your neighborhood, no, it's not going to, they're not going to say, okay.
You're probably going to get a ticket for that at least.
You would, and the general public is not allowed to participate in this thing. This is not it's not open season or deer season inside the city.
I've also never seen a deer playing with children, so I think they'll be far away from each other.
Well,
we don't really have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's a non-issue.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, we'll talk about that. I think 754-1490, let's see if we've got who we have with us. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
This be Breeze.
Yes, Breeze. Well, okay. What's on your mind?
Every now and then, it's a sad fact, but every now and then, it's municipal deer calling becomes a necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been going on for years and years and years, and there's never been a problem.
Yeah, that's the thing when the deer population fluctuates.
But we're not talking necessarily thinning with bows and arrows, are they? Are they in the past? Didn't they use rifle season with sharpshooters and rifles?
There's been sharpshooters and teams, and it's been done all different kinds of ways, and there's never been a problem. Do you guys know the difference between cowboy boots and engineer boots?
I don't know. What is the difference between cowboy boots and engineer boots?
Cowboy boots have the bull crap on the outside.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Hey, well,
hey-o.
Yeah, we're going to, anyway. You know what? I appreciate the input today, okay? All right, have a good one. Okay. Okay, well, you know what? At least it wasn't, it was not, yeah, it was, yeah, I know, it was not in good taste, but then again, I suppose it's be guided the idea, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, 754-1490.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea was getting to is that this isn't the first time that, you know, we've had to cull animals here in town.
And it's not exclusive to here, because this is a problem all over rural areas.
How many?
Rural and semi-rural areas.
Well, and not only do I see a lot of deer, in fact, I know that I go by, in fact, I've said this to Steve Ritter on the Ritter Show, said, I see deer all over your yard every time. And the deer are so tame.
Oh, yeah.
I had a deer that actually walked right in and stopped in the middle of Sunnyside. And it was just stopped there. And I stopped, and the deer just slowly turned its head at me, looked at me, and then, okay, and then slowly walked across the rest of the street. It's like, okay, obviously this deer is very tame, and this, or at least is so acclimated to humans it doesn't even bother. I go by, and you think, you know,
it's just in terms of the
City itself. In the city itself, they're
just. It's just, and in terms of like hunting levels, it's like people raising lower hunting thresholds to control deer populations every year.
How many raccoons do you think there are in the city?
I wish we could do a raccoon culling. Yeah. Raccoons are terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Take a look and see how many. Hey, leave your garbage out and see how many raccoons there are.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Rob Sussman? Remember Sussman?
Got trapped on his porch by a raccoon.
Sussman would have to wait. He couldn't put his trash. He had to wait till light. He had to wait till it was light out, and he'd have to run home and put his trash out because the raccoons, there were so many raccoons in his neighborhood. But there's a huge animal population, and I'm not talking about dogs, cats, and that sort of thing.
We're talking wild animals.
Wild animals right here in the city. And you're right. I don't know. Culling deer is one thing, but you're right. I don't think you can.
No,
you?
There's not much you can do with raccoons. I mean, you just have to deal with them.
Well, they're underground for the most part.
Yeah, and they hide in the sewer systems, you know, the storm drains and things like that. Sometimes
dumpsters.
They're hard to find.
And then they come out when you put your trash. If you have an open sack in your trash, it's going to be ripped open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you leave the lid open on a dumpster outside a building.
Yeah. Yeah. Raccoons, for the most part, I mean, I live out in the country, and the farmers trap them and shoot them. You know, that's the way it goes. But you never run out of them. You never stop trapping them. They're always around.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. As I say, I see wild animals every drive to work in the morning. Early in the morning.
I just saw a fox on the way home yesterday. I was surprised. Right in the middle of the day. It was hanging out in someone's front yard.
Wow. Now, that I haven't seen. I don't see too many foxes, but I don't know. It could be a fox. But, you know, a fox and a dog, a big dog, look about the same. You know what I mean? When it's dashing.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Anyway, 754-1490. We're talking about. I think it does seem that we are sort of, as with the opening of things, with the loosening of the restrictions, with some of the lessening it's like we're getting at least a little closer. You know what I mean?
A little closer to normal, absolutely. And you're, like I said earlier, you're going to have those people who are extremely, extremely gun-shy to go outside, and then you're going to get people who, like I assume Mike and Jake are probably one of these people, who say, I want normal back now,
Yeah,
to you know what, with the consequences.
And I think we were talking to my daughter. I said, you know, there's no place. I've got vacation time, but I don't have any place to go or any place that I feel comfortable about going to. I don't feel I'm not going to get on an airplane and go someplace. I don't know if, you know, and I'm not sure. You know, we like to go to Chicago, but you know, hey, until Chicago becomes more like what. You know,
things are so airtight there right now.
Until it becomes more like it's the normal Chicago, I mean, we're not going to do that either, because it's like going someplace that you can't do anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely agree. But the good news is, I mean, I was just sharing this with Colin during the break. The RT value for Iowa, if anyone wants to look this up themselves, it's rt.live is the website. And this is, they aggregate all the data that the CDC gets, and they go state by state, and they give an RT value. An RT value anything above one means that the virus is spreading further than what it currently is. Anything below one means the virus is diminishing and that the spread is getting lower and lower. Mm-hmm. So they have all 50 states ranked. We are almost at the entirely at the bottom. We're sixth from the bottom, which is the good.
Wait, hold on. What is the bottom?
The absolute bottom is Montana.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying we're doing good.
We're doing very good. When it comes to the retransmission rate, we're basically at a 0.8.
So where is it? What's also, Illinois? Where does Illinois rank?
Illinois has got to be up there.
Illinois, let me see. It looks like they're dead center. They're about 0.95 or so.
I'd be willing to bet you any money 90% of that is Chicago.
But most states are showing a downward trend towards the rates of infection.
Which ones aren't?
The ones that are increasing are North Dakota and Maine.
I think
the data so far.
Maine, really?
That's what we were talking about, the experts. And
ME,
how many?
That's Maine, right?
Yeah. Okay. ME would be Maine. But we were talking about the experts, and you were saying something about you can ask 10 experts. And
you get 10 different answers.
And the experts, if they're a health expert, they tend to err dramatically, for the most part, on the side of caution.
Yes. Well, that's because they're looking at it from a single perspective and not seeing that we have other needs as a country than just making sure everybody stays 100% squeaky clean,
so
healthy.
There's a balancing act is what we're talking about here.
Yes, there's a happy medium here, and nobody seems to want to get to it. Right. Everybody wants one extreme or the other.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the art of compromise is a little bit lost here. But as he said, we're here in this state on a downward trend. If you go to coronavirus.gov.iowa.gov, you see positive cases are on a significant downtrend here in Iowa.
So movie theaters, when do they open in Iowa?
Friday. Tomorrow.
Casinos are casinos? When do they?
No, casinos aren't on the list yet.
Not in the discussion.
My guess will be the end of the month.
Bars are on the list.
Bars are a week from today.
Okay.
I would say casinos probably by June.
Yeah, I would say probably early June the casinos open up.
And they'll have to be
before the 4th of July.
And they'll have to do the same kind of, obviously,
restrictions. Limited capacity, most likely.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for complete coverage of local, state, regional, and national high school, college, and professional sports, tune in to Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360 to Dave O'Hara Sports every Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. If you want to listen to archived episodes or interviews of specific players, coaches, reporters, and broadcasters, or have comments or questions for the show, go to twitter.com @Dave O'Hara Sports or facebook.com/Dave O'Hara Sports.
We all have a role to play in keeping our communities safe from the spread of COVID-19. At Great River Health, our goal is to provide the very best care for our patients who need it while keeping our employees and communities safe. What can you do? Wash your hands often. Cover your cough and sneezes. Keep your hands away from your face. Wipe down commonly used surfaces. Stay home if you are sick and practice social distancing. Do not attend gatherings of more than 10 people. Together, we can make a difference.
At American Family Insurance, we know your life has many moving parts. From your four wheels to your hard-earned home and the financial future of your family, we'll cover the things that matter most. Bundle your home and auto policies for possible savings and add life insurance for convenient, future-focused protection so you can keep dreaming towards what's next.
For details, contact Carlos Capdevila, agent at Carlos Capdevila Agency Incorporated. Call 319-752-1479 or stop by 601 Jefferson Street in Burlington today. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI and its operating companies. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back on the talk show, Mikey J, Colin Letty, yours truly, Steve Hexton. We talked about deer, we talked about the opening, the gradual opening. Colin, you were mentioning, in fact, that high school baseball and softball coming back, and you said
yes.
Yeah, you said something about the fact is okay.
They were talking about with certain measures in hand, and I assume that means trying to do it without anybody at the field. And my point was, you really think these parents of these kids are going to try and stay away from the field? No, they are not.
I would think that they could be. I think they could be at the field as long as there's as long as they're distanced. I mean, spread out. Wouldn't that be? I mean, right? I mean, I think, and I would think it'd be almost like when they had the closing of the when everything closed down during the state tournament. Only family members only were allowed to be in the to watch the state championship games. And I'm thinking, I'm going to guess that that may be, in fact, that would be my guess, is that family members only would be allowed to watch,
I think that's the plan for now. It depends on where the status of this is once they're open and ready to go.
I think that's really the key here.
Well, and I don't know how legally they could ever keep a parent away. You know, if if your minor child is in the care of, a coach or, the school, I think as a parent, you, under the law, have every right to be there making sure that your child is safe.
They're going to do what they can to try. And I think that's, I can see the fact, I can see them saying, no, okay, if you're not a parent or family member, you're not allowed to be here, at least at the beginning, and then they'll see how it goes. They'll expand as things, I guess, dictate or whatever. It's the idea of the soft opening. To have a soft opening means that you do it in stages, and Illinois is slow, but they're at least moving in that direction.
They're at least moving, period.
They're moving now, and yes, and again, yes, they're...
Because they weren't for so long. They held off to the point where Governor Pritzker is doing this because he sees really no other option.
Well, the last time we went to Chicago, we stayed at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, mm-hmm. which I didn't realize was owned by the Pritzker family.
It is owned by the Pritzker family. But what I'm saying is he held off until the point where people are taking legal action against the state for all of his closings. There were some people in southern Illinois trying to sue the governor over his stay-at-home order, saying that it violated constitutional rights of the people of Illinois. Violated the state constitution.
Yeah. Well, and it's one thing to try to keep people safe. Here in Iowa, even though they didn't issue the stay-at-home order,
we were basically
under the exact same regulations. They just suggested them to us instead of forced it
they
on
just
us.
Didn't call it
yeah
the
they just didn't
order.
Call it the same thing. But there you we've seen that there are some states that have done a good job and some states that have based their reactions not off of the data but off of fear. And trying to get ahead of it. We want to be the state that does the most, you know? And you're seeing that. California, they like grandstanding as being, you know, the best. And so they're going to try to stay closed longer than any other state to show how liberal and democratic they are, which is probably not a great idea.
But it's very uneven. You have some beaches that are open and you've got other beaches that are closed. And Orange County and Los Angeles are very different than the suburbs of Los Angeles.
Florida was also a bit of the same way, but that was, I think, in a more unintentional way because they kind of got hit with it faster than other states did.
Yeah. They were one of the early outbreak sites. Florida, New York,
Washington. And Florida didn't shut down until because it was spring break. They didn't want to shut down, and so the longer you went without shutting down, the more that you had the possibility. And you've got, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of old people, and I'm not talking me age. I'm talking me plus another decade or two or three, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, want to thank Mikey J. Have a great Thursday. We're back on, actually, I think we'll be back Tuesday with an open phone. I'm not sure yet. We'll figure that one out. Colin, we got Robin Johnson coming up, a special guest tomorrow. Leonard Green, I believe, is his guest tomorrow. That's coming up on Politics from the Heartland.
The tradition of news, sports.